Seriously, we are so blessed. We are so blessed by the gifts and the talents that are in this church, from staff to volunteers. It's just amazing, and I hear it all the time from people, just like, do you realize all the gifts that are within this body and the plan that God has for this body because of that? He'll put people where he needs them to do his work and to accomplish it. And even as we're just singing this morning, is kind of that theme on in worship, is on how he loves us and that amazing love for him. And it just came to my heart, like, his love for us isn't for us to come to this place to match my sin against his love. I mean, we all sin, and we all came from a puddle of sin. And you come to a place that I don't want his love to be confused in a sense of an allowance to sin because of his great love for us. And love does correct, and love does rebuke, and that's what love does. And when you come to this place to understand his love for us based off of our grave sin, it should drive us to be amazed by him, and it should drive us to be in awe of him, and it should drive us to want to avoid sin because of who he is in our lives, because he loves us. And I love the thought this morning, it just struck me, of having no regrets, of really living a life with no regrets. Yes, that's among stupid decisions, and that's some dumb things that we do, but we come to this place to just be able to know that I'm covered by a God who loves me. And man, I want to do everything in my possible way to avoid sin and make right choice and come to this place to be amazed that, God, you love me. Even in the midst of all of that, God has never turned his back on me, and he's never turned his back on you. And you come to that place to know that, church. That's where love digs in deep. That's where it digs in deep, when you really can come to that place to realize, God, you love me. Amen. And even just this morning, I was just thinking and dwelling just about his mercy for you and I in worship. And just to understand what... There we go. Woo! Thank you. But it really is, man. When you come to think of just the broad sense of his mercy for me and his compassion for me, knowing exactly who we are in all that we do and everything that we think and everything that we say, when you come to a place to realize just the depth of his mercy and his goodness and his grace and his love, man, it should drive us to him. Can I just say this, please? Even in our sin, it should drive us to him when we understand it's time to repent and it's time to turn and it's time to avoid sin. And you come to this place, say, man, I want to be driven towards him and towards his love. I mean, you come to this place, even this morning, man, I just feel in my heart that we've got to go into just a moment to know that Jesus Christ truly is Lord and Savior. And God Almighty is the one from the very beginning created all things that we see. He created all things. He is all powerful, all knowing, and he's everywhere all at once. And he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross because of the sin issue. Because Adam and Eve had it made perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect in the garden. Perfect. They had everything. They had the greatest fruit, because when sin showed up, it began to deteriorate all things of the earth. And man, we don't even know what real fruit tastes like they tasted. And they had it all, but it was that one tree that the Lord said, don't touch it. And they did. And then sin came in, and you come to this place to know that in that, there's a great fall of man. But in that, please hear it, in that is a great demonstration of how his love is for you and I, and his grace and his mercy, even in sin. That is what drove him to give his son to die on a cross for us. And if you're in this place this morning, man, this is the truth of the gospel, that God loved you so much, that he loves you so much, that he sent his son to die on a cross for you, for the sin, for the payment of sin of all mankind, that one-time sacrifice for you and for me and for the sin of the world, so that we could come to a place to know fellowship again with God, that we could come to a place to have a relationship with him again through his son, Jesus Christ. And we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we're amazed at what he's done for us on the cross. And if you're in this place, man, and maybe you're just on the bubble, and maybe you're just trying to figure out this faith thing, that you just come to a place, it isn't difficult. God loved, he created all things. Man blew it and sinned and fall short of his glory because of sin. God fixed that issue by the sacrifice of his own son on a cross for me and you. And that you and I would come to that place to make a decision to say, I get it. I get it. My sin has caused me to be separate from you. But God, you fixed that by your son. And the Bible says, Jesus himself says, to repent and to believe. Man, if you're on the bubble this morning, you would just come to this place, say, listen, God loves me. He cares for me. He sent his son to die on a cross for me because there's a day that I understand that I stand before a holy God and I'm going to give an account of my life. And whether that is in him or whether that is without him, there is a forever payment for that. One is truly eternal life with him and the other is eternal life without him. And when you come to a place as a church, I just want us, man, we have so many new people coming to BC, but I want you to know for sure that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And it's up to you to come to this place to repent and to believe and to call on his name for salvation, to realize, to open our eyes to see Jesus is the only way to salvation. And in that, I come to this place to turn away from my sin. Repent means to change my mind towards sin. I say, I get it. It separated me from you. And I get it. You paid the price for my sin, that blood sacrifice for me. And you just come to a place to make a decision to follow Jesus. To call sin, sin, and come to a place and say, I get it. I'm lost without you. See, I want a church that comes to a place that when you hear the gospel in this place, you realize this is our absolute firm belief. This is exactly what we stand on, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he was certainly born of the Virgin Mary for the sake of keeping him innocent all the way to the cross, that which you knew no sin could become sin for us so that we would put on his righteousness. And God did that for you, and he did that for me. And it's up to us to come to that place to see my sin has separated me from you, but I need you in my life. Man, I just felt compelled this morning to just share the simplicity of the gospel before we get into the message, because I just want you to know the absolute truth that God loves you. And Jesus intentionally put himself on a cross for you so that you could be free and you could have eternal life with him forever. And Jesus just simply said, repent, change your mind towards sin, it separates, and believe in me. He said, I'm the door, man. I'm it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Believe in Jesus. He's the only answer, and there is absolutely no other way. And you come to that place this morning to say yes to Jesus. If you know the Spirit of God is moving in your heart, you come to that place to say, I believe. I believe in Jesus. And I turn my life to him. And I come to that place to confess that he is Lord. Come on, amen. And that was just on my heart, and I just want to share just the simplicity of the gospel. But hey, let's get into this morning. We're so pumped that you're with us here at BC. Man, God has been doing such a great work, so much. As Matt said, so much going on yesterday, and so excited about the work that's happening here. Tonight is Seek, 5 o'clock. Don't miss our time of Seek. It's been so powerful. And then we're going to just totally watch Philly just crush New England. I saw someone with a New England Patriots scarf. We just ask that God would forgive you for that and that you would repent and turn to your senses. So we believe the Eagles are going to crush him. We're just praying for Tom Brady to eat some bad fish this morning. So it'll be great. I don't even know what bad fish does, but it's probably not good. And that's kind of what we want. Anyways, come on, let's preach. Here we go. Come on, turn with me to two places, please. John 17. John 17. I want you to see where we are headed in this. John 17 and Philippians 2, please. John 17, Philippians 2. And I want you to see this because we are in this Just Like series. And man, this is, I got to get you to hear this morning because this is where this whole kind of series was driven by, was this part in John 17. And this is a prayer that honestly, that Jesus is crying out to the Father. And you and I are included in this prayer. You and I, the church today, the believers of today, we are included in this prayer. And it's powerful. And this whole sense this morning is that sense of the church walking in unity and walking as one. And this is powerful because there's a result to this that I don't know if you've seen, but I'm going over this and going over this and going over this. And you're looking at, why is this so vital? Why do we want to reach this region? Why is it that we want to reach as many people as possible with the good news, with the gospel, as many people as possible to walk in a marriage that's right, to walk walk in a marriage that's healthy, to walk in a marriage where your kids are walking in a way to honor God in their age. And it's just generation to generation to generation to generation of a family that fears God, loves God, hates sin, walks in a way as salt and light to a world. Man, and it really comes to a place that there's a reality of this in John 17, that Jesus brings it all in, and it's powerful. When you understand the power of unity, there's a power in unity. And let's ask God to bless us. We got work to do today. Father, thank you so much for your word. I love your word, God. It is alive and it is powerful. Father, I thank you for this body that's before me. I thank you for this church, God. I thank you that we are in such a good place as a church, and we're walking in a sense that we are one, and we're walking in a place of like-mindedness. And God, there's such a purpose in this place as we drive forward together, God. It's amazing, and I thank you for it. And I thank you for what's taking place here. Speak to us this morning in this, God, as we get it as a church. If you have a future for us in this church, you have a plan for us in this church. God, you have a purpose for us in this church. God, help us to do everything possible to come in line with you to reach this region. In Jesus' name, amen. You go to John 17. I'm just going to read from Genesis real quick. It might be even on the screen. Genesis 11. This is an example of the power of unity. And it's not a good example. It's even when the world is so unified, they can be powerful. So I want you to see this. This is an amazing example of, here you've got, this is after the flood, and the earth began to be populated again, and just things started to go wrong again. That's what sin does. It just begins to sidetrack, and people began to live for themselves. And here you see this, and I just want to read this. Genesis 11 says this, verse 4. They said, come, let us build for ourselves, this is talking about Babel, build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves, it's just really all about them, make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad and face of the whole earth. Now watch, I want you to read this, watch verse 5. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, watch, this is the power of unity. And you hear about unified in the church, and you hear, but watch, God knows all things, and he knows that there is such a power in unity. Watch this. And the Lord said, this is people who just wanted to live for themselves. This is people who completely ditched God. And there was only one language in the whole area here, in the whole world at the time. And this is what God said. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. Talking about unified and language, speaking language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purposed will be impossible. And they weren't going towards God. They were going away from God. Not, because they are so unified, because they are all of such one accord, because of that, this is God speaking. He says, because of that, anything they put their hand to will prosper. Anything that they decide to do, it will be impossible to stop them. So God comes down and he causes many languages, and then there was incredible confusion. The word Babel actually means confused. And God came in, and praise the Lord that he did, because he spared us today by doing this. And he brought great confusion to them and split up that evil unity that was so towards themselves and absolutely rejecting God. That I love the idea of the power of unity, that when you are unified, there is nothing that can stop you. And God came in and put a stop to that by causing such confusion and different languages, so they just couldn't communicate. So I want you to see this in a sense of, let's turn this over to who we are supposed to be as the church and who you and I are supposed to be as the congregation. I love this in John 17. This is such a great picture. And Jesus, he throws out a just like that is one of those powerful, powerful just likes, or your version may say just as. And it's amazing. Look at this. John 17 verse 20 says this. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. This is talking about future believers. This is talking about us. Here Jesus is crying out to the Father, and he's speaking to God about us. I love this. Verse 21, that they may all be one. This is what he's praying for us here at the church. And here, the future believers of the church, the whole body of Christ, and you break this down into local church, and he looks at this, verse 21. This is what he's praying, that they all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us. Watch this now. If you're a highlighter, put parentheses around so that the world may believe that you sent me. This is huge, church. This is huge. And when you begin to understand that church is bigger than us, our purpose here is bigger than us. It's not just about us. Yes, it's about first coming to a relationship with Christ, first hearing the gospel and responding to the good news. It is good news that God loved us with such a love that he sent his only begotten son. We come in here and we walk in a sense in our marriage to be an example of what is Christ in the church. Your marriage is bigger than you are. And when you realize that in marriage, it's bigger than you. It's an example of Christ in the church. We want strong marriages in this place. We want strong families in this place. We want strong families who say, yes, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's a huge piece to who we are as the church. But when Jesus is crying out for the church as a whole, when Jesus is crying out to the Father saying, listen, I want them to be one just like you and I are one. Why is that so important? Watch. Look at this. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which you have given me. What is it if we're really a church that wants to see Jesus glorified? That we want to see Jesus glorified in our region. That he is the one that is lifted high in his place. We are building his kingdom and not our own. We're here serving him and not us. We're doing everything that we possibly can to honor and to glorify and to walk in a manner worthy of him and pleasing him in all respects and bearing fruit in every good work. We live and breathe for him. We even talked about last week about Galatians 2:20 and what it was to really walk in that place of surrender. And I hope that you have been putting that in your spirit through the whole week. You can walk in this and get this. Man, I want to see Jesus Christ come to this place to be glorified here at BC, through the people of BC, through the marriages of BC, through the children of BC, through the teenagers of BC, that we just come to this place. God, we want to see you glorified through us and in this place to a region of people who are hurting and broken. Church, there are people all around you who are hurting, who are broken, who are completely, totally, devastatedly lost without any hope because they don't have Jesus. And they're broken people. And when we come to a place, church, to be motivated for the lost and to be motivated for the hurting, to be motivated for the broken, to know if they do take their last breath without making that decision of belief and repentance and surrender, then they spend an eternity separate from God's presence. And you come to a place, man, there are people who are so hurting and there are people who are so broken. I want to be a church they would come to and say, you guys are so unified. Listen, when we walk in that sense of unity, there is nothing that we put our hand to that we will not be able to accomplish. If it would be God's will, there's nothing unified as a body that we put our hand to as we are like-minded in a sense to reaching a region and reaching a people. But look at this. Watch this. Because we want to see Jesus glorified. We want to see the name of Christ lifted high above every name. We want to see people come to that place to honor and to glorify and to worship and to praise and to come to that place of salvation, come to that place to know his goodness, come to that place to know his forgiveness, come to that place to know his love and see it again and see it again and see it again and see it again until Jesus returns. I love this. Here it is. Watch this. Verse 22. The glory which you have given me, he says, I have given to them, that they may be one. Just as your version would say, just like you and I are one. What? honestly, that they would be one in the church, the future believers, us, that we would be so unified and that we would be so like-minded and that we would be so much on purpose in this place that we would understand what it is as a church to reach a region, that Jesus will be glorified, that we would stay so strong after what it is to see people come to the place to be saved, to see people set free, to see people worship God, to walk in the freedom of the truth, to honor Christ as King and to walk in a sense unified together, that this is our purpose. To see people saved, to see people set free, to see people worship, to see people honor Christ as King, come to this place to know the Word is the truth. And man, when we come to a place to be so together in this at BC, this is what Jesus said. I want them to be just like us, that we are unified and that we are one. Because look at the result. Watch this, watch this. That they may be one just like we are one. I in them, you in me. Watch this. That they may be perfected in unity. Here it is again. So that the world may know. Watch this. Watch this. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. There's so much in this prayer. There's so much for you and I in this prayer. There's so much that Jesus is communicating. John wrote it down for us that we would never forget it. John 17, this amazing prayer that Jesus is crying out to the Father. I love this, to understand the result is that the world may know. The world, the broken, the hurting, the lost would know. I love this. And church, someone even just this week made up a map for us. I want to show you this picture, this map. This is our region. This is as far right now as we're reaching people. We're an hour and 15 minutes out of people that are driving to be a part of this church. Look at this map. This is an incredible picture of where we are right now in reaching people for Christ and reaching regions for Christ. Could you imagine if we start having home groups in the outer parts of the region? Could you imagine one day what it looks like to do a church plant somewhere out here so they don't have to drive an hour and 15 minutes? Could you imagine what we have in a sense? Because we are here as one, a unified body, for the world to see a picture of unity so that they may come to a place and know Christ. I love the idea that Believers Chapel, God has blessed us in this place with a building that can house as many people as we possibly can fit in this building. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And look at, we are here to reach a region of people who are lost, who are hurting, who are broken, to reach a region of people, to walk in incredible relationship and friendship when they come to a place of a community, when they come to a place of a family, when they look at who we are as a church, to walk in a sense of being that unified oneness of a body, just like the Father and the Son are one. And the result is that the world may know. I love this. Watch this. Watch this. That's a great map. But look at your word. I want you to see this. This is so good. Verse 23. So that the world may know that you sent me. Can I ask you, like, one of our goals, man, one of our top priorities in this church is that people would be saved. That we are an evangelical church, man. We want people by the Spirit of God to come to a place to know that He is Lord, that He is Savior, that they can be redeemed, that they have been justified, that they can be right with God, all because of the work of the cross, all because God sent His Son to die on a cross for you and I. And man, we want people to be saved. That is our top priority in this church, is to see people come to the knowledge of truth, to see people come to a place of salvation. Why? Because this is His prayer. That the world may know that you sent me. And they see that here in the church. There's something so powerful to what it looks like when a congregation, when a community of believers, when a local church comes together and say, man, there is a purpose that goes way beyond just our oneness. There's a purpose that the world may know that, Father, you sent me. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. And watch this. That you sent me and you love them just like you have loved me. I mean, I stop on this and I look at this and think, you mean, Jesus, that you're declaring so clearly here that in the same way that you and the Father are one, in that same relationship that you have, in the same way that he loves you, is the same way that he loves me? He loves me just like he loved you? I mean, how can that be? I'm a dad, and I love my kids. I love my children. But to be honest with you, I don't love your children the way I love my children. You're a parent in this place, and you can reflect that. You have kids, and you love your children. And you probably don't love my children the same way, with the same level of depth that you love your children. And Jesus is saying something so crazy right here. That they would know that you love them just like you love me. How is that even possible? And you look at God as a father, and you look at us as his children. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus as his son, and we as his children. Church, what happens if we come to this place to be so unified in our purpose? To walk in such a way that we are so in tune with what God has for the plans and the purpose of us as a church. To really be able to reach a region, inviting people to church, loving on people, being salt and light, contributing financially to the work that God is doing, walking in the obedience of tithes and offerings, walking in obedience to know we're our kingdom kids and we're expanding our kingdom kids ministry. It's absolutely going to be blowout. We're continuing to renovate BC West. That's going to look brand new. And there's so much that takes place in that building and so much outreach that takes place in that building. Man, when you come to a place, say, listen, I'm in. You have me on Monday, and you have us on Tuesday, and you have us on Wednesday, and you have us on Thursday, and you have me going to a home group, and I'm being connected. I'm watching God do a work, and you have my kids, and you have my teens, and you come to this place to realize, man, I'm in, and you begin to walk in that sense of being unified. You walk in that sense of walking in being one. Why? Because it's bigger than us. Jesus says it's bigger than just the church. And it's bigger than just us. It's bigger than just a statement. Oh, everything is going good and we're really unified. It's so much bigger than that. That Jesus said, listen, so that the world may know that you sent me. How do they know that? Because of the local church. Because people would walk into this place and feel, man, these people are on target. These people are on purpose. These people are unified. They really have a plan. These people are together. They all belong to him. Listen, when you come to this place to realize it's bigger than us. And Jesus says, listen, so that they may know. And it's up to the church. I love this. It's up to us as Believers Chapel to put out the plans that God has for us in a sense of winning the lost. Loving on the broken, encouraging those who are in such a place of despair, encouraging those who find themselves in sin to have compassion for them and care for them and to know that God has a purpose and a plan for them and to watch God do a work. And it all comes through the church who walks in a sense of unity. But what happens when the opposite, when unity isn't guarded and division comes in? Man, when you really begin to understand, the devil's in division, church, not God. The devil is in division. And God is in unity. And God is for unity. And you come to this place to understand that, man, this church, God has blessed us in this church. We do have an amazing staff. We do have an amazing board that is so targeted together. We have deacons that are just so untuned to what God is doing here in his place. And we have, and it's just not that. It's you in the seats. It's you at home. It's you at home group. It's you coming to a place, say, God, listen. I want to walk in that sense of unity because it's bigger than just this on a Sunday morning. God, we want to see people come to the place to be saved. We want to see those who are in bondage bondage, to be able to be set free. We want to see those that the enemy has his hooks into, that God, their heart would come to the place to be enlightened by your love and your grace and your mercy, and we would just begin to see God do such an amazing work. Why? Because we walk in a place to be unified because we get it. And I love this. I love this. Again, let's look at what Jesus says. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just like we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Are we working towards this? For something that's bigger than me and something that's bigger than you? I mean, do you realize what it's like? There's only one occasion that the angels rejoice in a place of eruption besides the praise of God the Father and the Son as eruption, when the angels dance and sing because one person comes to this place to repent and to turn, and the angels throw a party. It's a big deal, church, when the lost get saved. It's a big deal when eyes are enlightened and people run to Jesus and not reject Jesus. It's a big deal. And you know what's amazing? You know what totally blows me away is that he's left it up to us to share the good news and to be salt and to be light and to walk as a church that is so unified. And you look around and you look at what God is doing in this place. We're in such a great place. We come to a place, say, listen, when you go home and you go to work and you go to your neighborhoods and you go to Tim Hortons and you go to Tops and you go to the grocery store and you go, there's people all around who are lost and hurting and broken. And the big deal of the church, the big deal of being one and like-minded, is so that they may know that Jesus came. And God Almighty sent him. For God loved the world, he gave or he sent his only begotten Son. And that they would know that God loves us just like he loves Jesus. This is such a big deal. Turn to Philippians 2, please. Turn to Philippians 2. And there's so much on this as a church. And I love this because you look at where BC is, and Renee and I just, honestly, we come to a place to be amazed at where we're at as a church. Because we have been able to walk in oneness as a church, because we have such a sense of unity, and when we come to this Just Like series, we come to this Just Like message as this, there's so many new people that have been at BC, so many. Do you realize the growth that we've had since we've been? If you go back to BC West and you walk in that sanctuary, you're just like, what? Three services here? It was crazy to walk in that small little box. Do you realize we haven't even been in this building a year yet? So when I put the pieces together, blown away at what we believe. Well, Renee and I believe God has a plan for this place. And it 100% has to do with people. Building is a facility. The building, we're going to do it with excellence. We're committed to have excellence in what we do as we represent Jesus Christ, our King. But the big idea is people. It's always just people. Realize you're the piece to that as the church. Renee and I are not the church. We're a piece of the church, just like you're a piece of the church. All parts working together as one. Members individually, but working together as one for a common purpose, to see God do a work in this region, that God would open the doors to this region for us. So the people would know him as God Almighty. People would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Redeemer and Savior. And it's through the church. I love this. Philippians 2 says this. This is Paul, and he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says this: therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. I love the ifs of Scripture. Do we have encouragement in Christ? Do we have the consolation of love in Christ? Do we have the fellowship of the Spirit? This is talking about the church that understands Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, affection and compassion. And then verse 2, here it is. Watch this. He says this: make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Here it is, watch this. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. I love what Paul says. As an apostle and a church planner, he says, this is what would complete my joy. I love this. Paul says, listen, this is what would just so complete. This would bring my joy to a place of maturity. This would bring my joy to a place of bubbling over joy. He writes this from prison, church. He's in shackles in a prison. Come on, you look at this and you're like, come on, Paul, seriously? You write this from prison and you're speaking, what would make you full of joy? What would make you bubble over with joy? You're writing this from a jail cell and this is what you come up with? Why? Because his concern was always the church. That's always his concern, the church. He said, and I love this because he understood the reality of there is power in the unity of the church. Listen, when you get this, there is such an assignment for BC. There is such an assignment for you being a part of this church that we would go in to as far as we could go. I love that people drive an hour and 15 minutes to come to this church. What about the so many that are 3 minutes away? What about the so many that are 5 minutes away? What about the so many that are 10 minutes away that you see day in and day out and day in and day out? That's why, church, please hear it. It's so important that we walk in salt and light. It's so important that our conduct matters. Because we come to this place, as Paul writes us from prison, he's bubbling over in joy because he says, listen, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. He's so concerned. He's so concerned about this local church that they would walk in a place of unity. That you maintain the same love, that you'd be united in spirit, you'd be intent. You'd be intent on one purpose. You'd be intent on one purpose. So our purpose here is to see people saved, set free. Fear God, live out worship, and honor Christ as King. That's our purpose here at this church. It's been that way from day one. We wrote out our purpose before we ever had our first service. And that's never going to change, church. We want to see people saved. We want to see people set free. You know what changes is when you see people that will walk in such a fear of God, such a sense of his awe and his goodness. They'd walk in such a respect of who he is. And in that, they come to a place to hate sin because they have such a respect for God. We want to see people live out worship, not just Sunday mornings. How powerful it is when the church comes together to worship. But you live it out at home. You live out how we respond to God in everything that we do. That's worship. And our purpose is to see people come to a place to honor Christ as King and to respond to him as the King of Kings that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Christ the Lord and he is King eternal. And we come to this place as a church to say it's never going to change for us. But what happens? Just got one more verse and we'll close this out. What happens when Ephesians 4, I'm going to start with verse 1. I think verse 2 and 3 will be on the screen for you. It says this, again, this is Paul, so concerned about the unity in the church. He knows what drives the church. He knows the purpose of the church. He's the apostle that's planting churches, is what he says. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, he's in prison writing this, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. I love this. And he writes this to the local churches. This is to you and I. When we really get this message, say, listen, we're supposed to, it is Jesus' heart crying out to the Father, listen, I'm about to leave. I'm leaving them behind, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be our guide. But in that, God, I want them to walk in a sense of being so unified in that perfect unity that they would be one just like you and I are one, so that the world, the hurting, the lost, the broken, the misfits, the lonely, the depressed would come to a place to know that you sent me and to know that you love them just like you love me. Isn't it amazing that he's crying out for you and I today, the future church, the future believers, to come to a place to say, be like this. Paul knew deeply the what it is to walk in a sense of unity in the church. And he writes about it again. This is to the local church, that you with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. I love this. Here it is, verse 3, being diligent. That means very, very intently on purpose. To be so intense in your purpose. To be diligent. Here it is, church, watch. Being diligent, being intense to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Can I just say that where there is a unity, church, there's a peace. Where there is a oneness, there is a peace. The enemy hates it. The enemy hates it. He will try to come against BC. He will try, has tried. But when you really come to a place, say, man, our unity, our oneness, when you catch the vision of what it is to be so on purpose, and that it's bigger than us just here on Sundays. It's about those who are not yet here. It's about not just me, and it's not just about my walk, but it's my walk that compels others to walk. That the world would walk in this place to say, I've never seen anything like this. I had a gentleman tell me yesterday at the work party, he told me yesterday, Sean, I've never seen such a group of men that are just so real. That church is so attractive. When we can just be real. No show. No one's better than the next. We're just real. And we all fumble. We all miss. What happens when the world comes in to see that we have such a love for one another and such a unified purpose to reach our region and to know that it was Jesus' prayer for us. Jesus, our King. This is his idea. That you and I, think about it, you and I could fulfill a prayer that Jesus prayed for us. We're walking in such a sense of unity and never allowing division to come in and never being that source of division. The enemy will use a source of division to try to divide. You can always pinpoint it. To this place today to say, man, we are on such a target right now with all that God has done, with the amazing people that God has drawn into this church, you and this team. I don't know. I just, honestly, I just think that we're a part of something. That the end of this thing, when Jesus returns, and this isn't because of me, I think it's because if we catch what it is to be unified and we see God's favor and hand on this church, I just think at the end of this thing, we could see God do something in our region that's never been done. I think churches can be unified and churches can work in such a way in this region. It's not just about Believer's Chapel. I believe that the fields are white unto harvest, and I believe that there are going to be people, you get this, please get this, that the darker it gets in the world, what happens to the church? That's the brightest light. We got to go, but I just want to share that it's not going to get brighter in the world. I hope you're beginning to see that, church. The Bible tells us that. It's until Jesus returns, it is always going to be in a downhill slide in regards to sin, in regards to the world, in regards to the way the world is run. It's not going to be all Christianese. It's just not. But what happens when the Christians, the true Christians, walk in a sense to say, I truly have surrendered. I get the idea of church. I get the idea of unity. I get the idea of the purpose. I get the idea of the lost. I get the idea of what it is to be salt and light. And in that, in the darker that it gets, we will be brighter and we will be brighter and we will be brighter and we will be brighter. And God will absolutely, totally, perfectly draw out those who will be a part of His work and building His kingdom in the end days. And you come to this place to realize, God, if that would be us, we will see the lost saved. We will see those in bondage to be freed. We will see people lay down themselves and come to a place to have such reverence for God. We will see people come to a place to live out worship. Worship is just our response to God. Living in our response to God day in and day out. And to honor Christ as King. Church, if we do that together, according even to what God said in Genesis 11, anything they put their hands to, it will be impossible to stop. Let's just bow our heads. We just pray. And I mean, as the pastor in this church, we want to see hearts turn to God. We want to see souls won. I want to see your marriage in a place of excellence and loving and caring and I want to see your marriage in a place that it's an example to the world of what Christ is with the church. But I just wanted to be so clear this morning, and one of our just likes in this series has a direct impact on the church. Result is that the world would know that God sent Jesus, and the world would know a love, church, like they have never known. We sing about it this morning and we worship about it, but what happens when the world knows a love like they have never known? Jesus, like God, that the church would be one just like we're one, and they would be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them just like you love me, and you left it up to us. God, help us in this. It's huge. It's huge. I thank you for this body. God, I thank you for our oneness. God, I'm amazed at what's happening right now. God, that we would be so unified in reaching the lost, and we'd be so unified in going into the highways and the byways and going into our workplace and going into our neighborhoods and going into our local stores and just be light and be salt. Father, we're asking you to do something miraculous in this region, God. We need your presence in this region. We need your favor, God. We want to see the lost come to you and be saved. Call on the name of Jesus for salvation. God, you've called this church to this. You've called us to this. We thank you, God. We thank you for your favor, and we thank you just for what you're doing here, God. It's beyond all of us, Father. We recognize that. We respect that, God. We want to walk in just a reverence of you to acknowledge what you're doing here in this place. It's beautiful. It's amazing. People's lives are at stake, God. We want people to bubble over with joy, God. We want people to live life and life abundantly here and now, right now, God, to live a life full of joy and full of peace. Father, when we have unity, we have peace. God, I thank you for the peace that's in this church. I thank you for the unity that's in this church to be guarded, to be protected. And God, that we would see you work in this place in such a real way. That we, could you imagine, oh God, if we all got this, even just us in this room, just this first service, if we all just got this today, just the impact we could have. Oh man, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that we would honor you in our unity. There's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. It's bigger than us. Father, I love you. I thank you for what's happening here in this place. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise, please, this morning? Amen. Awesome. Amen.